Good morning, everybody. Turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 2. Okay, Acts chapter 2 is where I want you to go. We're going to get there in a little bit. I'm going to build some groundwork first before we even get there, however. This morning is our Group in Common Rally Sunday. For those that are guests with us, this is not what we usually do on Sunday. This is a different Sunday. We do this three times a year. And the reason we do this is because we believe that the Bible says we ought to be in vital relationship with each other. Let me just ask you this question. Try to think back over what you know of God's Word. Okay? Think through Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and the book of Acts. Okay? The five books that kind of give us the history and how Jesus built the church and then how the church worked. Think for a minute, if you can. How many instances do you find in your memory, in those books, where the prominent things happening are on a Sabbath day or a Sunday inside a building? Can you think of any? I think of a couple, maybe, that Jesus went to the synagogue on the Sabbath, and he got in trouble a couple of times when he went there. And then Paul would go to the synagogue in the book of Acts on the Sabbath, and he usually got in trouble when he went there. I mean, when I read, it's almost enough to not go on Sunday. But very few of the instances happen on a day called the day in a building like this. The vast majority of the action, the good stuff, that all happens through the week. That happens out and about as the church was really being the church. And you see, what's weird about where we are, and it's not just today, we've been here for a long time actually, is that we've kind of got that reversed. How many of you, when you think about your life in Christ with the church, as soon as you hear those words, you start thinking Sunday attendance, listen to somebody talk, or get involved and do something? That's where a lot of our brains usually go right away. Well, are you a Christian? Yeah, I go to church. That's not what I asked. I asked if you were a Christian. It's real, but we kind of get that mentality. And so I don't know when it flipped upside down, where when you read the Bible, it talks a lot about doing the ministry and being the family of God outside the building with people, doing the action. And then they still did meet together. That's definitely a fact. But that was almost like the classroom and the training ground to then go out and do the action. And we kind of get it backwards, that we think this little couple hours on Sunday morning is the action. And then we go and kind of do whatever. And a lot of us, unfortunately, even forget what we just did on Sunday. I mean, I hate to say this because it just makes me feel like, what am I doing? But most statistics say that people will forget everything they heard on a Sunday morning by Tuesday. That just makes me feel real secure in what I do. Been doing this for 30 years. Does anybody remember anything that I've ever said? What am I doing? But because we're backwards. So today, and just to make you feel better, I'm not sure I remember what I said a couple weeks ago. So I'm with you too. Today, if we can possibly flip it back right again, okay? That's the goal of Groups in Common, is to get the order back where it should be so that we're actually being the church the way it more closely looks like the way Jesus taught us to do it. And then the way in the book of Acts, the early church actually did it. So I want to teach us this morning why you should join a Group in Common. And at the end of this, we're going to do it. Okay? Now you might not be so sure you want to, because you don't know what am I getting into? How is this supposed to work? In 30 minutes from now or 25 minutes from now, hopefully you'll go, oh, now I get it. I'm in. That's what I want to do. So let's first build the biblical foundation for why this is so important. It says in Romans chapter 12, verse 5. Say this with me, would you? Let's say it together. In Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Isn't that a powerful statement? You might want to take your pencil or your pen that you got in your program and circle those words, each member belongs. Belonging is a powerful word. It's not a club joining thing. It's a intimate relationship belonging thing. I mean, my family belongs to me. I take responsibility for them. If Sandra is in trouble or she's hurting, it's my responsibility to meet her needs. If my kids are struggling, I'm there. When they have something that they need, I'm paying for it. I'm the father. That's what they belong to me. And you have people in your life like that too. Even if you don't necessarily get along that well. How many have a sibling and you've maybe thought this through? Have you seen that you can beat them up but nobody else can? I mean, I've had that. My brother and I used to kill each other. But you touch him, you're mine. I can beat him up, you can't. Because he belongs to me. He's my brother or my sister. We belong to each other. But church, do we really? This is Bible. In Christ. Are you in Christ? Okay, if we're in Christ, this applies to us. We who are many form one body. Okay, if I'm in Christ, we're here. We're many this morning. We're not as many as some churches. We're not as many a little as some other churches. We're in the middle somewhere, but this is many, and we form one body. Just that metaphor is crucial. If I lose an arm, I lose a leg, lose something, you know, I maybe could survive, maybe, unless I lose something really vital. But I don't survive whole. I'll be hindered. And the same with the body. We who are many form one body. We need each other. We belong to each other. There's another metaphor that's used with the body of Christ, and that's family. And we like that one. We use that one more often because it's just more relatable. And with our four markers here at Abundant Life, our identity is changed. Our identity is changed together with other people's identity that have been changed. We form a family. Our purpose is to reach out to others, and it's going to cost us our sacrifice. Family is crucial. You are in Christ. You're a part of the family. You can't say, I'm in Christ, but I don't want the family. You can't say, I want the head, not the body. Okay? And we belong to each other. Who do you call when you need a ride at the airport? Who's by your bedside when you're sick? Who brings you the soup? When you need to borrow a tool, who do you ask? When you're in trouble, who do you ask for advice? Who do you belong to? The body of Christ is that group of people. Now it goes even further. Galatians 6:10, read it with me. Let us do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers. There's a responsibility. Now, this says to all people. So first, the church doesn't have any opportunity to be unkind or rude or nasty to anybody else. Okay, we're called to be good to all people. But especially to those who are part of the family. Okay, there's something extra. I like you guys, but you don't get what Sandra gets. I especially am nice to her. Okay, I got to live with her. Okay? I get to say, you know, see ya at least sometimes to you. But not, that's not why, but because she's my wife. Now, we are a family belonging to each other, so we are to be especially attentive to each other. The question is, are we? That's always the question, right? Okay, I know what we're supposed to do, but do we do it? And that always is the question. And some of us right now are going, la, 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 la. Because you know what's coming, but you don't want to go there. Okay, we belong to each other, and we're to be good to each other, especially to those who belong to the family. And that requires our action. That requires our giving to each other. Does it cost us? Well, yes and no. But it's really an investment. To me, an investment is I'm losing something. An investment is I'm giving that because the return is going to be better. That's the same with the body of Christ and the family. The return will be better. You invest in each other. Let's take this a little bit further. A couple of verses of foundation. Let's build the foundation even more than that. The growth of the church. When you look at this, when the people of the church did what they were supposed to do, it grew. Because healthy things grow. That's what they do. They're supposed to grow. In our yard at home, we landscaped it. And a lot of the plants are doing well. They're growing. Great. But there's a couple that aren't because the leaves are falling off. The branches are dying. They're kind of decrepit. They're going to die because they're not healthy. So we have to figure out, okay, do we pull it up? Do we fertilize it, whatever we do. Healthy things grow, sick things just, they just decay. The church should grow. Now, in our area where it's so transient, we actually have to grow by 20% just to keep the numbers even every year. So if someone says, well, we haven't really grown lately. Well, we really have because of the transiency. We've at least gained by 20% to stay flat. But we want to even go beyond that by reaching more people. But here's what happened in the early church. Get this. I know you maybe can't see this that well. Hopefully you can. In Acts 1, they started with 120 people. It took Jesus 3 years to build 120. Okay, I might not call that, you know, cataclysmic growth, but it was decent. But look at the book of Acts. The thousands that came, and by Acts chapter 21, there were tens of thousands. Scholars even say this, that the city of Jerusalem had about 200,000 people in its population at the time of Paul. And those same scholars say the church had grown so significantly that probably over 50% of the people, over 100% of the people were following Christ. That's awesome. What would our valley look like if over just 50% followed Christ? Do you have any idea of how many people even go to church of any kind on a Sunday morning in our valley? Less than 5%. All the churches, add all the numbers together, not just Christian churches, any other faith, put them all together, still less than 5%. We're not quite measuring up, but I think we could if we kind of get the order back the way it should and not be focusing so much about Sunday, 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 Sunday. Get them in on Sunday. Get them in. Do the, you know, entertain them. Get the lights. Get all the stuff. Get the music. And then bring them in. Christianity is not a show. Christianity is a transformed lifestyle. It is a new creation. And when that happens, people take notice and they want what you have. Well, where did they meet these people that grew so amazingly? What did they do? Where did they meet? Well, they met in really two places. Here's what scripture says. It says they met, Acts 5:42, they met day after day in two places, in the temple courts and from house to house. That's where they met. They gathered together the way they should, but they met in the temple courts and from house to house. Temple courts is large group. Can I say large group worship? That's really not quite accurate, but that's just what we're used to saying because we sang songs and that was worship, right? But then we gave him the offering. Was that worship? Oh, yeah. That was worship if your mind was right. I mean, you could write your check and toss it in there and it wasn't worshipful. Just like you could sing a song and it's not worshipful if your heart's somewhere else. Is what we're doing right now, listening to the teaching of the word, is that worship? Yeah, if your heart's in the right place. You can worship doing anything, really. But they gathered for the specific purpose. They all gathered and said, we want to worship God together. And they did that in a large setting in the temple courts. But they also did it from house to house in a fellowship setting. Why is that different? Why is that necessary? Well, we're going to learn that as I go through these next few points, why it's necessary to have both the large setting and the small setting. It's the way Jesus designed it. It's the way the early church designed it. They followed that. When they followed that, there was tremendous growth. Now, of course, it wasn't just because of the structure. They were functioning under the power of the Holy Spirit. But is it the same Holy Spirit that we have today? Same. Same Holy Spirit wanting to do the same work. It's whether or not we're stepping into that same work. So why do we believe in these groups? They're biblical. We're starting to see that already. Let me give you some practical understanding of why groups are important. Some advantages of meeting in homes versus meeting here in this group. First of all, well, there's all five bullets right there. But groups in common are relational. When you get into a group, you will find yourself making friends that you didn't have before. It's a powerful thing to enjoy that. As I look out at this group, there are very few of you that I knew, Sandra and I knew, before we came here. There's very few of you that were here when we came here. The majority of you we've met in the last 10 years. There's a few of you that we've known for a little longer than that. And here's what I know. You're vital to my life. You're vital to my life. I couldn't live without you. That happens as we build relationships together. You can't build relationships doing what we're doing right now. Okay, really the only thing that you can really learn right now is what I'm teaching you, if your mind is open, and what the back of the person's head looks like that's in front of you. That's about what you get right now. Okay, and that may or may not be exciting depending on who's sitting there. You got to have a place where you can relate. It would be really rude if somebody all of a sudden stood up and said, "Ah, Pastor Greg, Pastor Ray, I got a question." Everybody else would be go, "Oh, one of those." And to be honest, I'd tell you to sit down and shut up because it's not appropriate. You don't get to talk in this place. I get to talk. But you get in a group in common and you get to talk. You get to ask questions. You get to share with each other. You get to say, "Yeah, but what about, I'm not sure, what did he say that? What did that mean? Let's go deeper in that. Let's figure that out a little bit better. Let's really wrestle with the truth." It's relational. You get to go to those kind of places together when you get into a group in common. They're flexible. Whoops, sorry. They're flexible. Life. Okay, all of us. Okay? It would just mess, or at a different day. Okay? But your group in common, it's flexible. You can find a morning, a noon, an evening, on a different day, with men only, with women only, with young people only, with all that mixed together. It doesn't matter. Very, very flexible. And we've got 40-something groups to provide that flexibility for you so that there's a place for everybody. Here's what I know. You can't get to know everybody in here. It might be nice to try. You can't. You can't get to know everybody, but you should know somebody. You should know a few. And as you develop that relationship with those few people, that 10 or 12 or whatever your circle can handle, you deepen. And you can do that because it's flexible. The third one there is it's sustainable. What do I mean by sustainable? What I mean by this is that sometimes you just get tired. You just do. You go to Sunday morning and you do that and then you go to another group and then life happens and you have kids or your kids are in sports or your job changes and it's weird and sometimes you just get tired. That's why we do ours in three trimesters. Sometimes you need a change. Okay, change. Next trimester rolls around, you try something different. We have the new group starting in as a married couples. Maybe you want to do the married couples group now and then next time go in and do a deeper Bible study. Okay, you can do that. Sandra and I do the young adult group at our house on Tuesday nights. Well, what happens when you grow out of that age group? You change. It's sustainable because there's ability to change if you need to. Now, I know there's some groups in our church that have been together for years, and they love it. 10, 12, 15 years, literally. They're the same group of people, and they're deep together. They know each other, and that's powerful too. So there's options, but it's sustainable. Number four is expandable. What does that mean? Does that mean there's always room for one more, especially if the person doesn't know Jesus? There's always got to be an empty chair to invite somebody in. I mean, what good is it if we say, it's us, and we love us, and if you want to come in, sorry, you're not allowed. And if you're not going to heaven, well, then I'm extra sorry for you, but our doors are shut. What are we doing? Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost. That's our purpose. That's our third marker. Our reason for being Christians is that, yes, we've received Christ, but now to share it with others. That's why he filled us with the Holy Spirit. Is there an empty chair in your life? Is there room for one more? In your group, there should always be room for one more. It's expandable. Welcome somebody in. Man, it's so awesome to look out at your faces right now, and I can see, I know your story. I know your story. I know your story. I know your story. I remember when you gave your heart to Christ. Look at you now. Look at what you're doing. Look at how you're growing. Awesome. From so many different places. There's room for you. Is there room for one more? There better be. You've always got to have room and to be inviting so others can come in. And the fifth one, their fifth bullet, is it's economical. What do I mean by that? It's free. It's free. We don't charge you to be in a group. There's no credit card machines at the tables. You don't have to pay to be in one. Just come. It's free. You can come. When you want to come, be a part of that. It's wonderful. Now, do we sometimes buy food? Yeah, okay, then kick in your money to help buy the food or buy a book or whatever. But it's economical. It doesn't cost you. Just go. invest, devote. Okay? Those are some real practical reasons. Let's go back to the scripture and wrap this up in the next 15 minutes at most, maybe 10. From Acts chapter 2, 42 to 47. The bottom line is this, these seven principles out of Acts 42. Here's what the scripture says. And notice how many times the word devoted is used, by the way. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was in awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were being done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to everyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They were devoted to breaking bread in their homes and eating together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily the people who were being saved. In that little passage, we have the last seven principles to build the foundation of why we're doing what we're doing today and why we will continually do what we're doing. This is not a program. This is Christian life. Because we belong to each other. We're the family. We're the body. And you can't be that and sit here only on a Sunday. So seven reasons why I should join a group in common from Acts chapter 2. Number one, I will grow in my understanding of the Bible. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Now, I'm not an apostle. I don't claim to be an apostle. Our other pastors aren't apostles or elders. But we get the point. We're devoted to the Scripture. Do we need the Scripture today, church? I'm telling you, we need it more than ever. Here's why. Because the world has gone nuts. Nuts. Changing so fast. And I'm not just a cranky 50s guy. Okay, it's nuts. Things are going so fast, so different, so... Like, really? Is that happening right now? We need the Word of God that is immovable, unchangeable. It's irrefutable. It's our fixed point of reference that we can go, okay, there is normalcy in the world. There's something that's reliable. Something that doesn't change. Something that it's not insane right now. We need God's Word. And it is that fixed point of reference that is trustworthy. You can stand on it. You can base your life on it. You can live on that Word of God. It is the lamp unto your feet and the light unto your path. It is that sword of the Spirit. It's powerful and it's true. No matter what anybody says, the Word of God is true and it's unchanging in its truth. We need that. And when you're in a group in common, you'll grow in that. You'll grow. You'll be challenged and you'll go deeper. Number two, I will make friends and deepen relationships. They devoted themselves to the fellowship. They ate together with glad and sincere hearts. If you say to yourself, I love Jesus, the church, I don't want that. That's like Stephen Curry saying, I want to be a champion, but I don't want the rest of the team. Or Joe Thornton saying, I want to win a Stanley Cup, but I don't need the rest of the Sharks. You can't, no matter how great those guys are, they need each other. You got to have each other in the team. When you get into a group in common, you make new friends and you deepen together. And don't sign up today with this mentality. Well, I'm going to sign up to see what I'll get out of it. I'm going to sign up to see if I like it or to see, you know, how it benefits me. People are always going to fail you. So you're going in with yourself already handicapped. It says they were devoted to each other. Go in saying, I'm going to sign up and I'm going to devote to those people. I'm going to devote to open my life, to contributing, to becoming vulnerable. And you go, oh, no. I'll go, but I'm not being vulnerable. Well, then you're not going to grow. What will happen is you'll not be vulnerable. You'll only show the person that you want them to know, and you'll go home empty because nobody still knows you. They know the person you want them to know, but that's not the real you. You really want to be loved? You got to open up and you got to say, okay, here's who I am. And you know, we'll not always be perfect. But I'd rather be imperfect and deepening than fake and being empty without relationship. And the nice part about it is that they ate together with glad and sincere hearts. Don't you love the Bible, how much they eat? As little as you see them meeting in the church, read the Bible and find out how much cool stuff happens around food. They're always eating. The first thing that Jesus is going to do when he welcomes us is he's going to throw a banquet. I'm ready for that. Locale, too. You can eat all you want. Awesome. You come and you get around a table and you deepen, you eat together, and it's enjoyable. It's wonderful. You'll make new friends. Number three, I'll learn to honor Christ in a deeper way. So they devoted themselves to the breaking of the bread. What's the breaking of the bread mean? It means having communion. That once a month thing where they share the bread and the cup and they remember Jesus' shed blood and his broken body. Now, we do this once a month on a Sunday. A lot of churches do that. And people say, well, why don't you do it every Sunday? Well, yeah, there's logistical reasons, but really for me, the biggest reason is that we want to invite lots of people who don't know Jesus to our Sunday morning services. And when we do that, there's a part of the scripture in 1 Corinthians 11 that says that if you don't yet know Jesus, you can't take communion. And so it's kind of weird when you say, come to our church, you're welcome. But then we get to that place and say, can't have any. Got to know Jesus first. And it just kind of creates this awkward kind of thing. And when we look at scripture, it doesn't say do it in the large grouping, but they did it a lot in houses. So when you're in groups in common, you know what would be really cool and most effective? Is when you get together in your home groups and you share the body and blood of Christ more often. I challenge every leader to do communion in your home with your group more often. And I guarantee you, you'll start finding more of a depth and a richness in that breaking of bread together as you share it with one another. And you'll honor Christ in a deeper way when you do that versus just the you know, 8 to 10 minutes we use once a month. Number four, I'll grow in my prayer life. They devoted themselves to prayer. We know this. There's the 1-2 punch, God's word and prayer, right? Got to have those two. And you got to obey God's word and then obey what the Lord says in prayer, of course, to carry it out. But that's the 1-2 punch. Know his word, seek the Lord. Those two, you put them in your life, you're going to grow, you're going to become healthy, you start to live that out. Now we're moving, we're going somewhere. They were devoted to prayer. When you're in your groups, there should be prayer in every group. And the young adults at our place, we pray every Tuesday, conclude our meeting with prayer, take prayer requests. And you know, not everybody's real comfortable with praying out loud yet. We're trying to teach each other and encourage each other. Some are a little shy yet, but little by little. And I'm so anxious for the day when there'd just be this spontaneous movement of comfort and calling out on God. And like Acts chapter 15 says that when they sought the Lord for an answer, they said this, it appeared right to the Holy Spirit and to us. How cool for a group of people to pray about something and then collectively they realize we know what to do because God just told us. Now maybe he didn't boom it out over a loudspeaker, but he spoke to us in our hearts and we got it. When you pray together, that's powerful. When you have a need and you can go to somebody and say, would you pray for me? That's powerful. Jesus said, when two or three will agree on any one thing, it shall be done for them. That's powerful when we pray together. In your groups, you'll grow deeper in your prayer life. Number five, I will be involved in helping others in practical ways. They gave to anyone as he had need. I mentioned this briefly already. When you need a ride to the airport, who do you call? Those are your real friends. When you call someone without having to set a calendar date, you just call them and say, hey, man, what are you doing? You want to come over? And they may say yes or no, but you can just do that without feeling weird. That's somebody you're closer to. When you just pop over unannounced, that's somebody you're closer to. When you want to borrow something, that's somebody you're closer to. That's practical. So they gave to anyone as he had need. They had relationship so that they freely had exchange. It's more difficult when you're at a distance from people to have that close interaction with needs. Who comes by when you're sick? Who brings the soup? Takes care of you? Ah, yeah, okay, your wife or your husband or your kids. Okay, fine. But what about your friends? Who remembers your birthday? What about those life things? Okay? You'll grow in your ability and in the joy of sharing the needs of life with each other. Here's what I love. I love this. I love it, love it. When I find out after the fact that somebody was in trouble, had a need, their small group took care of them, and I didn't even know. I love that. Say it this way. I love being out of the loop. What kind of pastor is that? A happy one. Because you took care of it. We kind of have a problem when somebody says, They call the church office. Say, you know, can anyone help me? And I want to say, what do you mean? Don't you have anybody in your life? And sometimes no. And so we need to help to figure it out. But better to get in a group, and then you don't have to make that call. People are already there with you. Number six, I'll learn the joy of worshiping God together. They praised God and enjoyed the favor of all the people. Now, we already, again, talked a little bit that worshiping God doesn't mean simply singing songs. That everything they did was worship. And when you start to function as a small group, you start doing things together. Hey, we going to the game? Yeah, come on, let's go. Gonna play some golf? Yeah, let's go. We going to the concert? Yeah, let's go. We going to the park? Sure. Gonna go hiking? Sure. Let's go do that. That whatever you're doing, you give glory to God when you do that. And when you give glory to God that way, those that are not yet part of the family start to take notice that you're different. And I know that because the other people that they hang out with aren't as nice as you. They're not as wholesome or moral or encouraging. At least they shouldn't be, because you're Christians. There should be this difference of, why are those people so nice? Why are they so encouraging? How come every time I get around them, when I leave, I feel better about me? I like me better when I hang with them. That's the body of Christ and how it should work. So when we're worshiping God with our behavior, not just on a Sunday morning, all locked into our little structure, but get out of that, and we're worshiping God Monday through Saturday, people's lives change because of your worship. Last one, I'll be motivated to invite others I know, or invite others to know Jesus. We got to have that empty chair, church. Scripture says that every day the number in their group continued to grow as the Lord added to those who were being saved. Our valley needs us. Can I just tell you this? You say, well, Pastor, don't they really need Jesus? Yes. Who's his body? It's us. I love what Bill Hybels says, great pastor of Willow Creek in Chicago. He says this, the church is the only hope for the world. Whoa. I thought you meant Jesus is the only hope for the world. We're his body. We're his plan. When you ask Jesus, how do you expect to save the world? He'll say, through my church. I died on the cross, gave them this wonderful message, transformed their life so that they would go out filled with the Holy Spirit to change the world. That's our job. That's our mandate. Is there room for one more in your life? There should be. Is there room for one more in your group? In a group. That's what today's about. This is not a program. This is not, oh, Abundant Life does small groups and that's part of their program. It isn't. It's Jesus' program. Worship in the large group, worship in the small group. Come together in the bigger, get intimate in the smaller. And you know what? Most people's lives change as a result of a relationship. The majority of people that come here as a visitor come because someone invited them. There was a relationship that happened first. It's all about that. And these groups are all about that and growing in the midst of it. I'm hoping this is making sense. And I hope that this half an hour has changed you from, I don't know about small groups, to, I'm in. I want to be in one of those. And that's what we're going to do right now. I'm going to pray. While I pray, it's not sacrilegious that the group leaders can go to their tables while I pray. Okay? Hopefully you were wise enough to sit on the aisles and not have to crawl over somebody and mess up their prayer. But then we're going to pass our connection cards to the outsides. The ushers are going to collect our connection cards. And then we're going to go to the tables. So let's pray. And all that stuff can happen at the same time. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word. I thank you for your truth. I thank you that you designed us to be this body today, but you designed us to be in smaller groups too, to really learn and grow and to sharpen each other and to get close to each other and develop that vital relationship. Lord, I thank you that you've given us this structure so that we can really flourish. We want to be that kind of a church. And most of all, God, we want to be that kind of a church so that others who don't yet know you can come into your kingdom. Father, I pray that right now, that we would ingest that understanding and realize I need to be in a small group. Because without that, I really am not going to grow the way God designed me to grow. So I pray in Jesus' name right now, Lord, move on our hearts, touch us. And now as we go to the tables, help us to be, to have a heart of devotion to this next trimester. And I give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Before you get up, pass your cards to the outside. Okay, ushers, swing by the outside of the aisles and collect the cards. All right. And don't move until they have got your cards. And I think they're starting from the back. So from the back forward, when they collect your cards, you can go to the tables. And let's enjoy this time right now.